Good morning. If you're just joining our broadcast, we're in a series, a Bible study, going through the book of 1 Corinthians. We are beginning chapter 8. Yesterday we got down through verse 9. I would like to use verse 9 as a springboard to continue on in our study. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. Well, actually, let me go back to verse 8. But meat commendeth us not to God, for neither if we eat are we the better, neither if we eat not are we the worse. But take heed, lest by any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak. You will note throughout the scripture that this concept of being a stumbling block is something that is to be avoided by anyone who wants to maintain a right relationship with God. If you cause somebody else to stumble in their walk with the Lord, you answer for that. Now, keep in mind, if you are just joining this series, we're speaking here in chapter 8 concerning the problem that has arisen over the things offered to idols, specifically meat that has been offered in a pagan temple that has been removed from the grounds there and taken down into the shambles and sold in a meat market, as it were. Custom was, the understanding was there in Corinth, that if you ate meat that came from, let's say, the Temple of Diana, if you ate that which had been consecrated to her in a act of worship in the temple, for you to eat it was to own allegiance to Diana, to show your devotion to her. It was a slick way the priesthood had of getting more money for the maintenance of the temple, more money for their coffers. Now, at the same time, you've noticed Paul has said, look, we know these things are no gods, and we ought to be able to eat without having a real problem with the conscience. However, not every man has this knowledge, he says in verse 7. And so what you have here is a conflict, a misunderstanding that has grown from misunderstanding to harsh words, breaking of fellowship, between those who say that I can eat it, it doesn't make any difference, and those who with a weaker conscience said, no, you can't eat it. Not if you're going to be a Christian, you can't do that. Okay? Now, let me say this. There are situations today that are still very much like that. People who say, well, I can do this, and I'm still a Christian, it doesn't affect my walk with the Lord. And there are other people who say, no, you can't do that. Now, sometimes there are people who want to do things that are contrary to the Word of God, and in actual point of fact, can't do that without hurting their testimony and their walk with Christ. But there are other things that really don't amount to anything, things that, much like meat offered to idols, no big deal. Paul said, whether we eat, it doesn't commend us to God, it doesn't make us any better. If we don't eat, it doesn't make us any worse. There are things of that caliber, that quality, that really don't make any difference, that there are other people who say, oh, you can't do that and still go to heaven. Now, I think it's imperative to know what the Bible says so that you don't come down on the wrong side of the issue, regardless of the circumstances. Now, you'll notice here, he sets off, as I mentioned earlier in the previous broadcast, in chapter 8, verse 1, verse 2, and verse 3. If you take the foundation of those three verses and use those to understand what he says in this following verses, you'll notice that he stays right on course. He says, take heed, lest by any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak. Give an example. In that situation, here's a man who is known to be a Christian, he's maybe a leader in the church, and here's a new convert. Now, this new convert doesn't really know much, he has no indoctrination, but he sees this man that he's supposed to respect going into the shambles, buying the meat. Now, he knows from what has been said that it was offered to an idol. Now, he also knows what he's been told all of his life, as long as he's lived there in Corinth, that to eat that meat is to worship or show devotion to the god that it was offered to. Now, he'll do one of two things. He sees this Christian brother buying this meat, obviously for consumption, and he'll do one of two things. If he does not understand why this other Christian does it, he'll either say, "Uh-oh, he's committing a sin. He shouldn't do that. He's worshiping that other god." And thereby lose all respect for this man, not believe anything he has to say, even though he might have something good to say. He's not going to pay attention to him. He's an apostate. On the other hand, because he is a new convert, he's weak, he says, "Oh, well, if he can do it, then it must be all right." Huh. And he doesn't draw the line of distinction between worshiping God and worshiping this other false god. And so as a result, what is supposed to be monotheistic, that is worshiping only one god, now becomes polytheistic. He is worshiping more than one because he saw this other guy do it, and if he does it and it's a worship, an act of worship, and he does it, then if I do it, I'm also worshiping that god. And if they can do it, it must be okay. In which case now we are talking about providing a stumbling block, becoming a stumbling block. I'll give you an example in today's situation. Suppose I go to a grocery store, and suppose I say, "Well, you know, all things are lawful, not all things are expedient. I kind of think I'd like to have a little wine with my supper tonight." And so I go in and I buy a bottle of wine. Now here's a young convert, sees me do that. And what happens? Well, he'll do the same thing. He'll do one of two things. He'll either say, "Uh-oh, preacher crossed the line there. He's no good. He's a hypocrite," and not have any more to do with me, in which case I have destroyed my testimony. It may have been lawful, but you see, it wasn't expedient. And I have to take this seriously, if he sees me do a thing like that, and because he saw me do it, he says, "Well, if he can do it, I can do it. It must be okay." Now, statistically, they say that people become, 1 out of 5 become an alcoholic with the first drink they take. Now, whether or not that's absolutely accurate or not, I don't know. But I certainly would not want to take responsibility for causing somebody else to cross that line. Therefore, though it may be lawful, it is not for my good. It is not for his good. I will not do it. You'll notice it said back here in verse 1, "Now as touching things offered to idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth." I may know there's no punishment and penalty involved, but I also recognize the fact that it is not going to be for somebody else's profit. Therefore, I'll abstain from it. Do you see this? This idea of responsibility and accountability for our impact on other people. Now, he says, "Take heed, lest by any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak." Doesn't soft soap, doesn't sidestep the issue that the other guy is weak. Well, why should I have to cut back on what I want to do just because somebody else is weak? Because charity edifieth. All right, let's go on. "For if any man see thee, which hast knowledge, sit at meat in the idol's temple, shall not the conscience of him, which is weak, be emboldened to eat those things which are offered to idols? And through thy knowledge shall the weak brother perish, for whom Christ died? But when ye sin so against the brethren, and wound their weak conscience, ye sin against Christ." There is this matter here of personal freedom. "Well, I can do what I want to do." No, you can't. "I can't." No, you can't. You have to gauge what you indulge in, what you participate in, based on its impact, for good or for bad, on the life of another Christian. Now, this is not a matter where you got somebody who is just a pin-headed nitpicker. You can't do anything to make them happy. They're going to be critical. They're going to mock. They're going to ridicule. They're going to accuse. It doesn't make any difference what you're going to do. They're going to be on your case. Now, this is not the character we're talking about. We're talking about somebody who is a sincere believer in Christ, who is sincerely purposed in his heart to do right, who is offended, who gets led off on a wrong path because he follows your example. You may feel like you have the liberty to do it, but he doesn't have your understanding, and as such draws the wrong conclusion. And that's the gist of what he's saying here. For if any man see thee, which hast knowledge, in other words, you know it's nothing. You like the cut of meat, okay? Sees you sit at meat in the idol's temple. Now, I think they're crossing a line there. They got no business being in the temple. For the most part, what's happening is being consumed, having been purchased in the shambles, which was connected with the temple, the idol's temple, okay? He sees you eat this meat. Shall not the conscience of him which is weak be emboldened or encouraged to eat those things which were offered to idols? Now, he doesn't understand. It's nothing. He thinks it is an act of devotion, but he's done it based on your example. And through thy knowledge shall the weak brother perish for whom Christ died. Perish? In what sense? Well, how strong was he in the first place? Was he really saved? Now, that's not for you to determine. You don't know. But at the same time, why on earth should it be something that causes his faith to crumble? Instead of having a relationship with the one true God, you, by your example and your knowledge, combining with his lack of knowledge and understanding, now goes from having a walk with God to embracing something else. Not good. But when ye sin so against the brethren, and wound their weak conscience, ye sin against Christ. Wherefore, if meat make my brother to offend, I will eat no flesh while the world standeth, lest I make my brother to offend. That doesn't mean make him aggravated. There's some people that will get up on a holy hobby horse and say Christians should not eat anything connected with pigs. No pork. It's against the law. Well, friend, that was Old Testament law. We're not under the law. We're under grace. But you see, now, there are going to be people who make that issue, and they will do so based on ignorance of what the Bible has to say. Their discernment is lagging. It's not where it needs to be. And they can be genuinely offended about this thing. Well, you need to take the time with them to bring them up to speed. And notice here, if my eating meat causes one of these weak ones to stumble in their walk with God, I have offended. I have been a fault here. He said, if that's going to be the result, I just won't eat it. I'll just avoid it entirely. Now, you see, here's a case where charity edifies. Here's a case where charity takes on practical application. Time's gone. I hope you'll join me next time.